Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Father God, we look to you today. We look to the Son this morning. And Lord, just from the very start, God, we want to commit this time to you, Jesus. God, we want to commit this time, God. We give you all the glory and all the praise for what you are going to do, God. As I decrease, would you increase in this place, Lord? And Lord, as our eyes are fixed on you, would our lives be changed today? Leave us here different to the way we walked in. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, hi, I am so excited to be able to share with you all this morning. Last week, we had an incredible word from Pastor Neil. He talked about how we enter is often how we experience. So I just challenge all of us here that how we enter the next few moments will determine how we experience the next few moments. So if we're hungry, if we're ready, if we're believing that God's going to speak to us, then maybe we can leave here different. So I'm going to get really excited, okay? This is just a warning, okay? So just if you've never heard me preach before, I'm really excited about this word this morning. So if I'm excited, I want you to be excited, okay? Is that okay? So on the count of three, okay? On the count of three, I want you to shout out encouragement. You can shout out whatever you want, but you shout out encouragement, okay? One, two, three. Wow, I love that. I love that. Good. Well, hey, we're going to go straight into this today. We've got a couple of verses talking about Nehemiah, and we're going to go straight into the word, and we're going to talk about vision. So we've got a verse, Andrew, up there, Habakkuk and Nehemiah. This is the first one I want to talk about. It's up here, and it says this: write the vision down, the revelation. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Come on. Though it linger, it will come. And the other one, I don't know if I've put it up, Andrew, but we're going to read a couple of readings from Nehemiah, but we're going to go chapter 1, verse 3 first. It says, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted. We'll skip to chapter 2. Verse 17, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. The people replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began the good work. I love building. I don't know if you like building, but I love building. I love seeing something that was not there, and you see something come, and you see something great. Building is incredible. I like working with my hands. I like physically building. But one thing I don't like, and I don't know if you've experienced this, is IKEA flat pack furniture. IKEA flat pack furniture will test your patience if you are the most patient man on earth. Flat pack furniture does not help you. Its drawings are useless. The people are not helping you. It could be like in a different language. You just have to go solo with it. At least when you build something, you would think, okay, we've got a plan here. Step one, step two, step three. With IKEA drawings, they're just having a nice time. The drawings are the people just having a good time. It helps us in no way, shape, or form. But today we're going to talk about building. We're going to talk about building over at the Apex Center. You see, the vision I've loved here in Apex Kids, Mega Kids, Mothers and Toddlers, the growth that's been happening has been incredible. But I'm going to tell you the little bit of behind the scenes. You're going to see some photos, see some drawings, hear some different voices of how God is in this next season and how God has spoke to each and every one of us about taking our youth ministry from this building to the Apex Center and totally redeveloping, repurposing that building to make it a youth hub for not just the church, but for the community. And I think that's exciting. Once a month, we'll come back here and we'll do, because we were here on Friday night, and I love our young people. We had Jean Wilson telling us about the offering. We had Olivia Haggith leading one of the songs. We had Matthew James leading one of the guitars. We had Ellie Haggith talking about courage. We had Maisie talking to the young people about prophecy, and with Steve Lawrence there as well. It was amazing. And I love that Friday nights, what that looks like. So we'll still be here once a month, but I'll talk more of that later. But we really just want to get into this, and through the next few moments, we'll talk a little bit about the center as well. Battle of Nehemiah. The book of Ezra is all about words, which is fine, but the book of Nehemiah is all about action. It takes him about four verses before he starts doing something. And I love that. He's a man of action. If he was here today, he'd be probably looking at this building and thinking what we could fix, what we could sort. And if he's here today, he probably would have been at Excel as well. He's a man's man. Nehemiah built. But before there was a building, there was a burden. Before there was a building, there was a burden. And Nehemiah, before he ever thought about building, he had that burden. And that's where it all originates with us. Number one, Nehemiah was prepared. Verse 1, 3 to 4, we've just read it. He sat and he wept. When he heard the news, he sat and he wept. The vision started as a burden. The vision God has given Jen, the vision God has given myself, it started as a burden. It didn't start as a great design. It didn't start as a great vision. It started as a concern. It started as a burden. What burdens have you got for 2019? We're still talking about New Year solutions. What burden have you got for 2019? I believe that your burden can lead to your vision. I believe what God is putting your heart to be concerned about, he's going to help you live out in that vision. I love Nehemiah's response here. The first thing he did, he sat, he wept, he prayed to God. And our first response in every situation in 2019, let it be said at Apex Church, our first response is prayer. We sometimes use prayer as a last resort. We sometimes say, okay, I've tried everything else, I'm now going to pray. But prayer should be our first response. Nehemiah, the first thing he did, four verses in, he prayed to God. And he didn't pray to God for someone else to fix it. He prayed to God for, God, give me an opportunity to fix it. Give me an opportunity to fix it. Instead of praying prayers to get Neil to fix it, you pray prayers that you can fix it. Amen. You pray prayers, Neil saying amen. But Nehemiah didn't pray for someone else to do it. Nehemiah prayed for that opportunity. God, give me this opportunity to rebuild this wall. Give me this opportunity. Don't pray for opportunities for others. Pray. Let that prayer be the first response. Nehemiah was praying, but as he was praying, God was preparing. And in the background, it looks as though nothing is being done. But the whole time, God is preparing. I don't know if you've ever cooked a Christmas turkey before. The first Christmas Jen and I were married, we thought it was a fantastic idea to bring our families together and cook for about 15 people. Maybe it was a good idea. But the turkey had to come out at the right time. If we took that turkey out earlier than it should have, there would have been a lot of damage to the people that we love. So we had to take that turkey out at the right time. And just like that turkey in the oven, sometimes for us, God puts us in a heated place. God puts us in the furnace. God puts us in that place that, hey, you're not ready to come out yet. You maybe think that you're ready to come out, but wait until the appointed time. Though it may linger, wait for the appointed time. Your praying season can be your preparation season. We look all through the scriptures and see that many people, Jesus, all through Moses, all over the Old Testament, people were prepared for what was already prepared for them. And I believe that in this season, 2019, God is preparing us for what is ahead of us. And we need to respond to that. We need to respond to everything that God has got for us. I don't know if you were ever cheeky as a child. Maybe you're still cheeky today as an adult. But I was really cheeky when I was younger. And I used to always say things to my mom or whatever. And my mom always used to say this line. I don't know if you've heard this line or your parents said this to you. Wait until your dad gets home. Who's ever heard, wait till your dad gets home? Who's heard that? Well, I would have been cheeky to my mum at lunchtime, 1 o'clock maybe, okay? Wait till your dad gets home, 5 o'clock. I've got 4 hours to really work hard to repay that love, to repay that. Everything that I did wrong, I'm going to, hey, mum, I'll empty the dishwasher. Mum, see that washing? I'll clean the washing. Mum, I'll do that because I wanted that report at 5 o'clock to be a good report. You know, and I was saying this to my dad yesterday, and my dad said, well, I got it even worse. His dad was away at sea, so he was cheeky on a Monday, and his mum would say, wait until Friday. Wait until your dad gets home on the Friday. So he had 5 days to work hard. I had 5 hours. But that waiting season, there was a lot of things I did in that waiting season. And it's the same with us. That preparation season, it's not a wasted season. That preparation season is a purposeful season. So understand that Nehemiah was prepared. He took responsibility. He didn't let the status quo take over. He says, this is the status quo. Well, we're going to do something different. And with the vision that God has given us, we could continue to do what we're doing and see result. But we believe that the status quo is that there are young people in our community that desperately need to find Jesus. So the status quo would say, just leave them. Just leave them. They're not worth it. Just leave. The drugs is too much in this community. Alcohol will take them at 16, 17. We believe that the status quo is one thing, but we're going to talk about another report. And we're not going to follow the status quo. We're going to choose to hear another voice. Amen. Nehemiah was prepared. What are we preparing for in 2019? What are you preparing for in 2019? Your concern can lead to your vision. Amen? Yep. Number two, Nehemiah was not just prepared, but Nehemiah was positioned. Nehemiah 2, 13 to 14, he talks about being in position. He went and inspected the walls. He went and seen all the damage that was done. And in that place, God really moved. Nehemiah was positioned. Apex Church this morning, we're positioned. Do you know that? We are positioned on Chapel Street and on Queen Street. We are positioned on Broad Street. Do not ever underestimate the location that God has put us in. Nehemiah was a cupbearer over in one nation. Over here, the walls were broken all the way over there. He did not allow his position to disqualify him. He did not allow his position to say, you know what, I'm over here. I can't do anything over there. No, he was a cupbearer, and his position led him to the place of, no, God can do something. God can do something. If God can take a cupbearer to change a nation, what can God do through us? Come on. What can God do through you this morning? A small town in the northeast of Scotland, what can God do through us? What can God do through? I'm wanting you to open up your hearts this morning. I want us to open up our faith this morning, to let faith arise in this place, that from a small church in Peterhead called Apex, God can do significant damage for the kingdom of God in this nation. Amen. It can start from our position. It can start from our location. We don't need to be in Edinburgh or London or Manchester to see great revival. We can see a revival here. You know why? Great revival start with prayer. Great revival start with prayer. We can see great revivals here. We are positioned in our community. Do not allow our position to disqualify us. We are in pole position for what God is going to do for us. Pole position takes us to the front of the queue. And I believe that God's favor, God's blessing on our life and on this church, he takes us to the front of the queue. If you've ever been in Disney and you get a fast pass, it's the best thing ever. Because you get this fast pass and all the people has been waiting 3 or 4 hours. You just, oh, yeah, I'm going to the front of the queue. And that's what God is doing, I believe, in Apex Church, that for our community, that he's not just taking us to the front of the queue to bless us, he's taking us to the front of the queue to bless our community. God has given us a fast pass in our community, and our position needs to be celebrated. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our position, I believe, will be our platform. Our position will be our platform to see incredible growth in our church and to see incredible, amazing things. I never thought that the Apex Center that we are redeveloping, that we are working on, designing, project managing, whatever you want to call it, I never thought that as a teenager, when I was a little bit too young to go, I would have went back there, looking back, and I would have went to G3, not knowing that I was there at G3, many years later, I would be back, not making another G3, but that served me. G3 served me. So if I can help serve the next generation, I never thought even take my timeline back further back. I used to leave Central School every lunchtime, walk past G3, Apex Center, every single day as in primary school, not realizing every single day I walked past to go to my grandparents for lunch and walking back, I would still be looking at that center. I would still be working in that center. You see, from one generation to another generation to another generation. I never thought that every time I walk up those 17 flights of stairs, getting my steps in just by walking up those steps, that I would be walking past stairs that my granddad had built for this, and he never seen this next generation. He won't see the next generation, but you know what? He built for the next generation. Don't allow your position to disqualify you for what God is going to go through you. Amen? The cupbearer built a nation. What can God not do through you? Come on. Come on. You're maybe here this morning. You're thinking, all I do is just serve coffee. Come on. Be a barista for Jesus. Let revival come through coffee. Come on, let it be. All I do is pray. Well, you know what? Prayer breaks things down. Prayer works. All I do is just work in a shop. You know what? Let that shop be a gateway to heaven. Come on. You, where you're at right now, right here, right now, is the right position to be in. Right here, right now. Don't underestimate the position that God has given us. God is doing something incredible. Amen. What can God not do through our position? Number three, I hope you're keeping up. Nehemiah was passionate. His passion led to his action. 17 to 18 in chapter 2 talks about how he's saying, come, let us rebuild. There was a passion with what he was doing. He talked about fighting for his families, talked about fighting for the people that were no longer there. It says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruin. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. There was a cause to fight for. There was a cause to fight for. Understand, if it's mothers and toddlers, mega kids, Apex kids, or it's praise and worship, whatever ministry or whatever we're at in this church, there's always a cause, because there's always people outside this church. And as long as there's people outside this church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night or a Friday night, we're going to keep fighting and we're going to keep running and we're going to keep going, because that is our cause, and that was the cause. Nehemiah was passionate about this. I don't know if you can guess, but I'm passionate about Jesus this morning. I'm passionate. Passion makes you do things you never thought you could do. Passion unlocks doors into you. Even as we are reserved, Northeast, Peterhead people, passion is still inside us. I was watching a football match at the end of the year down in Falkirk, a restaurant down there. I was sitting with my father-in-law, and I was John, and I was sitting with a guy called Jim. Never met Jim before, but I met him that one moment, and his wife was there, and the wife didn't want to be there. Jim wanted to be there. I wanted to be there. John, I don't think he wanted to be there either. But we're watching Rangers v Celtic. And when that last goal went in, and when the full-time whistle went, passion makes you do things that you never thought you would do. So I stand up, and Jim hugs me, and I hug Jim. And then I hugged John, and we're hugging together. And I'm thinking, wow, and I've never met John since, but I've hugged him. And I've seen all of you guys many times, and I probably haven't hugged you. But I hugged Jim, and I'm thinking, wow, this is what passion does. Passion does things that you never thought that you could do. Passion allows you to do things you never thought you could do. I love passion. Being a Christian is an incredible thing. I love Jesus. But the books that I read and the people that I read about, they had passion. And for us, one of the greatest ingredients in 2019 for New Year's solution is you need a passion for 2019. You need a passion for what you are doing. I love seeing the different people and the different teams. The guys here, Jason Park's got a passion for drums. He's got a passion for making a noise because you can see it in him. There's passion with everything that they are doing. Let passion guide you in 2019. His passion led to his action. We went down a couple of Thursdays ago. We showed some of the team, the building team, all the work, all the photos. We went upstairs, laid all the photos out. We kind of walked it through the journey. And then we went straight downstairs. And honestly, minutes later, saws were getting off. Wood was getting chucked away. We just started working because passion led to action. When they seen the passion in each other and when the passion built up, it led to action. And I challenge every one of us, if our passion is not leading to action, is it passion? Is it passion what God is saying to us and through us? The vision was so compelling and so inclusive that the whole nation, there were people of all different skill sets that got involved in rebuilding the wall. Do you know that it took 53 days to rebuild the wall? 53 days to do this huge building project. You know why that was? Because they were passionate. And passion leads to action. What are you passionate about in 2019? We're passionate about this. Mothers and toddlers, leaders are passionate about their thing, and that's cool. But you've got a thing. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about in your life for 2019? What do you want to bring? I believe that there are ministries yet to be birthed here, and you're the one that's going to birth it because you're the one that's passionate about it. What are you passionate about in 2019? His passion led to his action. And before I go any further, we want to show you some photos and some drawings that Jen has made up. And we really look at these photos, and it's something that we've been looking at for many months. And the backdrop behind this is that I'm really stubborn. Okay, and that's context. I'm really stubborn, okay, and I don't listen very well. Jen has been saying this for many, many months to go to the Apex Center, but God spoke through Jen first, which was that's usually what happens, and then I didn't listen, and God really had to like knock me in the head and say, no, this is what's happening. But Jen's been saying this for so many months, and then other people's been saying it. Then I just came to the realization, okay, that's 4-1, 5-1, 6. Yeah, okay, God, I get the point. You are talking. But so Jen's been really sensing our heart that our youth ministry and it should be outside of the building. And we didn't know what that looked like, and we thought it was Bodham. And we're going back to Bodham in a few weeks' time, which is exciting, because we want to bring buses into Peterhead, and we want to bring teenagers into Peterhead. So we're doing that, which is exciting. Pastor Neil had been looking at the centre and thinking, what are we going to do with it? But also, the guys that went down to XL, we had a phenomenal time down in November. Absolutely brilliant time. And we came back in a car, but the bus came back, and God really moved in that bus, and God really moved within the men, and the passion led to their action, because the men are really excited about building something for the next generation. Well, we're going to be having our Friday nights, 3 out of 4 there, Tuesday nights, but we'll be opening up Saturday nights as well once a month and see how that goes. We just really want a place where young people can go. Young people can be young people without stress or pressure. But Nehemiah 4:14-6 is a verse that we've got. And it says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is your great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, that God frustrated it, we all returned to the wall. Nehemiah was not just prepared, not positioned, not just passionate, but last, he was purposed. Nehemiah had a determination. He had a steel within him that says, you know what? The enemy can come, but our response will be to tell the enemy who God is. And as Nehemiah was building, there was a battle going on. And as he was building, there seemed to be building, battling. And Nehemiah was purposed. The enemy tried to take him out. The enemy tried to take him down. And Nehemiah was determined not to let that happen. And understand that for 2019, as you build, as you seek out God's purpose and God's vision, the enemy will try to take us out. The enemy will try to take you out. But I love what the Bible says here. Nehemiah's response, number one, was to tell the enemy who God is. That shuts the enemy up. Number two, the enemy says, come down so I can talk to you, come down. His response was, I can't come down, I'm doing a good work. I can't come down to your level because I'm doing a good work. The enemy is on one level, but when we're with God, we're on a higher level. And for some of us here today, you maybe need to hear this, but God has got you in the palm of his hand. And the battles you're going through, the enemy that's trying to pull you down, it's got nothing on who God is. So you just tell the enemy who your God is. And that is the response that Nehemiah had. It was all going so well until the battles began. Nehemiah, though, had a focus and a determination. Every historical battle that it's been in history has had one thing that signifies it. And whoever gets the highest ground wins the battle. Whoever in history gets the highest ground gets the advantage to win the battle. And understand that we've got the higher ground this morning. We are part of the better team this morning. We have got the advantage in God this morning. We watched a film last year, and it was 12 Strong. It was talking about 12 soldiers who went in horses a month after 9/11 happened. 12 soldiers went in horses, and when they went on horses, they were trying to find the Taliban. And then in some of the scenes, there was battles, and they were heading towards these tanks and the heavy artillery with horses. And it didn't make sense at all. If you didn't have any context of the film, you would think this is a suicide mission. They're riding horses and they're shooting, but they're going against tanks and they're going into the enemy's camp. But you know the advantage they had? They had eyes in the sky. And those eyes in the sky, they could communicate through a radio to the eyes in the sky, and the eyes in the sky could take out every single tank that they were running towards. And it's the same with us, that we're maybe going towards the enemy, and we're maybe battling and battling, but we've got an advantage, and the advantage is higher. The advantage is in higher ground. Get to higher ground. We were in New York a few weeks ago, and I've gotten this rubble, I've gotten this stone, and one of the greatest things about the 9/11 memorial, such a humbling place to be, but one of the greatest things about it was you can go underground and you can see part of the towers that are still there underground, and we didn't speak to each other for about half an hour afterward because we were just so, it was such an experience for us. But I really sense that God spoke to us in that place because there was rubble left over. And a couple of verses previous to what we've just read, the people are so discouraged, the people are so hurt, the people sense that, you know what, the enemies came. There's so much rubble. We can't do anything because there's so much rubble. But can I encourage you, however much rubble there was in 2018, and I'm talking from personal experience, there was a lot of rubble in 2018. A lot of rubble. From the rubble came revival. From the rubble came revival. As we're building, we're battling. People are discouraged. People say, it's not worth it. We can't rebuild this walls. But through the rubble came revival. Through the rubble in our lives, the very thing that remind us of the defeat that God has given us, through the rubble, revival came. The same rubble that was destroyed in our life became the same rubble that built a wall that saved a nation. From our worst of days, God can use that, and we can see turnaround, we can see restoration, we can see revival come. That very thing that the enemy is trying to hinder you with, that very thing that the enemy is trying to say, you're not good enough. I was standing here and the enemy saying to me, why are you doing this? Nobody's going to listen to you. Why are you doing this? The enemy's attacking me right now before I come on. But you know what? With the very same rubble, there's going to be revival. In 2019, the very same rubble, there's going to be revival. And I prophesy in your 2019, that thing that held you back, that thing that pulled you down, is going to be the very thing, it's going to be your platform to take you higher. It's going to rebuild your wall. The very rubble in your life and the very rubble in our life is going to be the very rubble that we're going to see revival from. Amen? Because God is in that. You know why these guys did it? And this is, you go to public speaking places, you read public speaking, and they always say the same thing. Tell the why. Tell the why. Tell the why. I hope I've communicated the why to you enough today. But with the why, you know why the Nehemiah rebuilt this wall? You know the why? So the exiles would return. So the exiles would return. And I prophesy again. I'm not sure how much prophecies you can give out in one sermon, but I speak in faith that the exiles will return in 2019. I speak that as we are building, the exiles will return, because we're building for the exiles. We're not building for the church. We're building for those outside the church. And as we build up the walls, the exiles will return. We're closing our eyes at this moment, and we're just giving this to God. One of the favorite songs of 2018 talked about, fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. And that is the truth today, that God is madly in love with you today. We do this because we want you to connect with Jesus. The stone that we build our lives on, the rock that we build our lives on, his name is Jesus, and he wants a relationship with you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that's you this morning, you want that relationship with Jesus for the first time, or maybe for the 10th time, you want that relationship right now, where you're at, you raise a hand, and I'm going to see it, and I'm going to come and pray with you. Where you're at, raise a hand, we're going to come, and we're going to pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God loves you so much. And as we are in this place of worship, God is speaking and God is moving. And right now, for you in your 2019, what are you passionate about? What are you purposed for? What are you preparing for? God is in this place and he is bringing people. He is bringing vision. He is bringing destiny. He is bringing dreams. He's bringing that thing that you think he has forgotten about. He's bringing it to your memory. He's refreshing you right now. And in this moment, God is speaking to you. There is destiny ahead for you, and there is a wall to build for the exiles to return to. So come on and let's build this together on Christ alone, the cornerstone.